Well, shalom, and welcome to 2 hours of Jewish soul music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. Each week, you know, I try to bring you music of interest and occasionally some interviews of interest, which will be this evening. This is show number 200 of May 27th, 2013. I was trying to think, what could I do that would be special for the 200th, but I said, I took the easy way out. I said, every show is special, right? Yes, okay. I hope you agree with me. You know how to reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com. cbjmusic@aol.com. Okay, just a few days ago, I had the pleasure of interviewing Dudu Fisher, and that will be our first hour, and I will probably play a few of his Kazanis pieces during the second hour. So let's go right to the interview. I'm very pleased to have with me Dudu Fisher, well-known Israeli chazen and singer and a performer, Broadway star, and this hour is going to be a discussion of his life, his thoughts, and his music. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
First of all, Dudu, my first recollection of you is as David Fisher, so
that's right.
Goes way back. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you born, and how did you get involved?
You want to know who gave me my name, Dudu?
Who? Go ahead.
So actually, it was my grandparents, my grandfather.
Uh-huh.
I went with him once to Jerusalem, and I said to him, "How come Jerusalem has so many names?" Because, you know, Jerusalem has 70 names in the Bible, and they called Moriah, they called it the City of Gold, City of David, Jerusalem. So he said to me, he said, look, you know, when you love somebody, you give it nicknames. He says, and God loves Jerusalem. So he gave it many nicknames, you know. It's like me, he said, I love you so much. I gave you a nickname. I called you Dudu. But he didn't know what it's going to mean in America. So I got stuck with the name. I liked the name. And that's how I got famous with the name in Israel. And I thought, why change it? I mean, and second of all, I mean, all over the world, Dudu is a great name. I mean, nobody has a problem with Dudu except in America. When I came to Broadway and they said, what shall we write outside, you know, on the picture? So I said, write Dudu. They said, no way we're going to put Dudu on Broadway, they said. But, it's a name to remember, you know. It's something that you remember.
It's unique.
So it's unique,
for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Where were you born?
I was born in Israel.
In
Petach Tikva.
Petach Tikva, uh-huh.
My mother comes from Lithuania. And my father comes from Poland. My father was saved by a Christian family in Poland in a bunker underneath the house.
Really?
16 members of my father's family were saved there. They stayed there 18 months in a bunker.
Incredible.
Which is an unbelievable story. And I think that I have something, that this is why my project now with the Christians and with evangelical Christians in Missouri. I have a big thing going on in Missouri, in Branson. Have you heard about Branson?
Yes, of course. Of course.
Because you're in show business. But I saw every other Jew that I ask, did you hear about Branson? Nobody knows about
Branson.
It's
a city of music and theaters
and so forth.
It's very famous.
It's the Las Vegas of the evangelical Christians who love us. I don't know why. They like us more than we like ourselves.
Yes, we would only hope that Jews would love Israel and speak up as they do.
Because you know something, in the Intifada times, Jews are not coming to Israel.
I know.
They do. They do. They don't care.
You know, there's a hotel in Ariel called Eshel HaShomron, and whenever we go there, and he says, we're the only group.
Only Christians are coming there.
He said, only Christians.
Right.
Israelis don't even know
That's
about
right.
it.
So I have a show at Jerusalem, which I wrote a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And actually, it was when I was a chazen in the Hamptons, you know, with Rabbi Schneier.
Yes, Schneier. Sure.
So I wrote this show, and actually the premiere was there in the synagogue, and uh-huh. that's why I remember them very fondly, you know, and I liked very much this place, and I did the show there, and there's a guy by the name Mr. Cayley. He came over to me after the show and he said, this is not a show only for Jews. He said, it's for everybody, because everybody wants to know about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is like Coca-Cola today, you know, because everybody knows about Jerusalem. The problem is that they hear about Jerusalem only when there's stones and fires and negative, you know. So then he said, let's put it on Broadway, you know, but then we went into into this calculations, and Broadway was a little too expensive. But the, the story was that I met Victoria Hearst, you know, the Hearst family.
Yes.
So she became an evangelical, and she lives today in Montrose, Colorado. And she invited me to do a show for her. And right after the show, I she brought a lady backstage, and she presented herself to me, and she told me her name was Billy Brim, and she said, you should come see Branson. And I said, who's Branson? I never heard the name Branson in my life, you know? So she said to me, Google Branson and call me. So I Googled Branson, and I was amazed. I've never seen something like this, and I didn't imagine that there's something like this is, exists.
Right.
Because it's a city of 11,000 people, and they have over 100 theaters there.
It's a mecca. More, it's a mecca for
More theater seats. More theater seats than Broadway they have in Branson.
Right.
And they get 8 million tourists every year from April, between April and December.
Wow.
So I went to Branson, and I went to see a show. And at the door, the girl said, that's a funny name, Dudu Fisher. Where are you from? And I said, well, I'm from Israel. She said, oh, really? Well, enjoy the show. And I went in. And in the middle of the show, the guy, you know, stops the show. And he says, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest here tonight. And his name is, and he puts his hand in the pocket, and it takes out a little note, and he says, his name is... can't be you know. And then he says, Dudu, are you here? And I said, yeah, I'm here. He says, what are you doing here in Branson? He's the first Israeli they ever probably ever seen, you know.
Right.
So I said, well, I came to see the place because I might be bringing a show with me here to Branson. And but the moment he said Dudu Fisher from Israel, 700 people stood up and gave me a standing ovation.
Oh my God, I'm crying.
And it was the first time I got a standing ovation without singing a note.
I love it.
So I said to my manager, I was sitting there with my manager, with Barbara, and I said, Barbara, we're coming here. And a year ago was the first time. It was very difficult, very, very hard to break into this market because they don't know. It's like me, I'm 60 years old now. It's like going back now to be 19 years old, starting a whole new career because they don't know about me.
Right.
And Dudu, you know, they don't know anything about Dudu, you know.
Sure.
And but they know about Jerusalem, and they love Jerusalem, and they sing Jerusalem, and they sing songs about Jerusalem, and you cannot imagine the enthusiasm
that you get the spirit, the hallelujahs,
praise the Lords, and it's an amazing place. So this year I'm going to be there October, November, for 2 months, every day a show. Every day for 2 months.
And please make sure I get all the information. I'd like to put it on my calendar.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You will get it.
Now, going back to your family, was anybody in your family involved with Jewish music prior?
Not really. My grandfather was a bal tefile in a synagogue, but never not a chazan. It was no chazan. You know, I had an uncle, you know, who came from South Africa to Israel, and he saw the potential that I have to be a chazan, the voice and everything. And he used to send me, when I was in the army still,
right?
During the army, he used to send me to take voice lessons.
Really?
And I took voice lessons, and by the time I finished the army, Cantor Herstik, Naftali's brother, Chaim Eliezer Herstik, would not say Hallel, the Broche, in the Great Synagogue of Tel Aviv in Allenby Street.
Okay.
So they fired him. Fired him. And my uncle heard that there is a job opening, you know, so he sent me there. Probably he paid the gabbai to get me, you know, to get. He was very much into it that I'll be a chazan.
Right.
And anyway, that was my first job. I was the chazan in the Great Synagogue of Tel Aviv when still people used to come there, but now it's over. I mean, the wandering Jew, there's nobody there, nobody lives there. Like here, like in Moscow, like in every big city, we have these beautiful, beautiful empty synagogues. And I have this song really that I sing about it, the wandering Jew. You know, that was written 70 years ago, 80 years ago, and it takes you through Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. You probably know the song. It's like these synagogues are like this. I compare it to this tree, you know, the birds left the tree, but they come every year back, you know, and once a year the chazan's voice is still heard and the shofar is blown, and it's like it's sad, you know, that synagogues like this exists all over the world, but they're empty. In São Paulo, I see it. I see it in Rio de Janeiro. I see it in South Africa, everywhere, and it's sad. But you know, the Jews are getting wealthier, and they leave those old places when they move to better places, and they build new synagogues. So it's sad, but it's also encouraging.
Yes. We're not giving up on it.
No.
Okay, so your first experience as a singer was as a chazan?
Yeah, that was my first... well, you know, when I was a little kid, actually, I wanted to be Elvis Presley. I don't know if you know about it. But then my grandfather used to teach me a little krechzing, you know, to sing... He used to take me to his chamber, his little room, and he had a big machzer on a stand there, you know, and he used to teach me a little bit of the tefillot. And then my other grandfather, I was very fortunate, but that's why I like to sing Zaidi. I like to sing the songs.
What a wonderful song, yes.
Yeah, because I was very fortunate because unfortunately not many of my generation had Zaidis because they were perished in Israel. I mean, in America, not so much, but in Israel, I remember I was one of the only ones, you know, in high school, when I was in high school in yeshiva, I was maybe the only one to have two Zaidis and two Bobbies, you know, from both sides, and it was very, very unusual to have Zaidis, and for me, that's why I like to sing the song, because I learned so much from my Zaidis, and not only that I became a chazan because of one of my Zaidis, but also, you know, they taught me everything that I know about Yiddishkeit, about everything.
You know what? Let's take a minute and listen to my Zaidi, which the Megama Duo came out with,
right.
Moshe Yes.
That's right.
And it's one of my favorite selections.
Yeah.
So let's go back and we'll start with my Zaidi. This is Dudu Fischer. And thinking about, he was fortunate to have both of his grandparents.
That's my second album that I recorded.
Okay.
I'd like to sing for you a song about a man that I love. Mazeidi lived with us in my parents' home. He used to laugh, he put me on his knees, and he spoke about his life in Poland. He spoke, but with a bitter memories, and he spoke about the soldiers who would beat him. They laughed at him, they tore his long black coat. And he spoke about the synagogue that they burnt down, and the crying that was heard beneath the smoke. But Zaidi made us laugh, and Zaidi made us sing, and Zaidi made us Kiddush Friday night. And Zaidi, oh my Zaidi, how I love him so. And Zaidi used to teach me wrong from right. His eyes lit up when he would teach me Torah. He taught me every line so carefully. And he spoke about our slavery in Egypt, and how God took us out to make us free. But winter went by, summer came along. I went to camp to run and play. And when I came back home, they told me Zadie's gone. And all his books were packed and stowed away.
That's such a wonderful song, and I remember when Moshe Yess and his partner Sholem Aviv, I had a radio station, a radio show in 1980, and I interviewed them the first, and I never heard of them, and they had such they had some very interesting selections.
Yes, they did, and I have to tell you, this is the this is my second show, my second album that I wrote, that I recorded from 50. I think I have 50 albums today in the market, so it has been a long, long journey, and it's always nice to remember this Zadie song. And I still sing the songs. I mean, even now on this tour that I'm doing now in America, I still sing the song. I love the song.
It's a classic. It certainly is a classic, and it touches the soul. Really does. By the way, I'm just curious, you have brothers and sisters who were involved with Jewish music at all?
No, only brother-in-law.
Oh, yes. Avi Albrecht.
Avi Albrecht, yeah, that's right. He married my sister.
Yes.
He met her in the army. I mean, when we were in the army, he met her, and they got married. And,
he's terrific. I've been down to Baltimore, and what a wonderful shul he has there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful shul. It's a really beautiful shul. Unfortunately, I think this is the one of the last ones, you know, to have really a chazen, you know, with a choir or something. I mean, it's finished. I mean, this is finished.
You know what? I'm not giving up on it.
You're not giving up? No. I don't think that there is a chance that Chazonis is going to come back, because people don't want to go today to synagogues for concerts. If they want to hear a chazen in a concert, they go to a concert. But to shul, they go to daven, and they go home. They don't want
to. They rush to the kiddush.
They rush to the kiddush. Yes, they rush. They rush home to eat. They don't want concerts today in the synagogues. And in Israel, in all Israel, we have maybe three cantors are standing on a pulpit. You know.
Yes. Well, of course, I'm a big fan of Adler. I mean,
Adler, and there's Rand, and there's Heinovitz, and that's it. I mean, there's no more. If you think about it, in Tel Aviv alone, you had like about 35 cantors 50 years ago.
Isn't Herstik singing in Tel Aviv?
Nobody's in Tel Aviv anymore. Uh-huh. Adler used to be in the Great Synagogue, not anymore. Now he's in Jerusalem.
Right.
And that's it. There's nobody in Tel Aviv. No Chazan in Tel Aviv.
Well, we have to do something about it. you know what? I would feel if they could just bring a chazan once or twice a year.
Yes, that's what they do. I mean, every synagogue brings a chazan once a year. That's why we have Matzen is traveling all over. Just got a call from him from Israel. He's in Israel right now.
Yes.
And Herstik is davening. And of course, I mean, the guy, I think the one who brought back life into chazanes is Helfgott. You know, because I really think that the voice like this is born every 100 years or something like this.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Sobel does a good job of promoting it.
Also, yeah, but
the orchestra does take over.
It's in concerts. That's it. I mean, you don't see cantors in synagogues anymore. I mean, even here, there are not many. I mean, really. And I think that Avi in Baltimore has one of the last really big position as a cantor, which is great.
Well, of course, Mark Schneier has been very committed to...
Mark Schneier loves Chazonis. And also, listen, that's
And also, his father made a commitment with the health guard.
That's right. So I say that I'm Park East, and then there's the East, the Hamptons.
And Yossi Malavani. I have to tell you, he's my dear friend, of course. But there is
a Ozzie Schwartz here in New York, and
Yaki Lemmer, Zevi Muller. He's the nephew of Benjamin. He's at the Westside Institutional. Very, very high in him. Anyway, listen,
they only want them to be a baltfile. They want them to sing quickly. They want one piece. You know. I remember when I was a cantor in Tel Aviv or in Netanya, that was my second shtele in Netanya. I used to sing till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, it's starting at 8 o'clock, and I used to sing till 1 o'clock. I don't understand how people stood there, but I understand it came from Europe. You know, in Europe, this was the culture that the Jew had. I mean, there was nothing else for him. He was not allowed to go into operas. He was not allowed to go into concerts. He was not allowed to go nowhere. So on Shabbat, he used to put his one suit that he had, and he used to go to the synagogue, and he didn't care to sit there till 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's true, and there was no radio, and it was before even recordings. Listened to an old record player.
Exactly.
But how many homes had the record players?
Exactly.
I think it's time to play a little Chazonis. Let's go to Eila Dvorim. When did you record this? This is an album of...
I think it's about 15 years ago.
Okay, In God's Name.
In God's Name.
Okay, so let's hear Dudu Fischer with Chazonis.
As a cantor.
As a cantor.
אלו דבורים שאין להם שיעור הפיה והביקורים והרעיון וגמילוס חסדים וסלמוד תוירה וגמילוס חסדים וסלמוד תוירה אלו דבורים שאין להם שיעור אלו דבורים שאין להם שיעור Apeya vehabikorim verayon Ogemilus chasadim vesalmode toera eilo devarim sheyen lahem Eilo devarim, eilo devarim. She'adam ochel peroiseyem ba'olam hazeh. V'akeren kayemes le'olam haba. V'akeren kayemes le'olam haba. V'yeh Elohen kibudav Kibudav vohem ogemilus hasodim Eilu devarim sheyein elohem shihor Kibudav Kibudav vohem ogemilus hasodim vadim ve'ashikva ma'aseh beis ha'midrash shachris ve'arvis shachris ve'arvis shachris 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 ve'arvis ve'achen ha'zorchim ve'achen ha'zorchim o'vikur chayelim o'vikur chayelim o'vikur chayelim ve'achen ha'zorchim Olevayas hames Ve'yiyon tefila Ve'yavad shalom Shalom, shalom Chavero V'salemud toira V'salemud toira K'neged
Bravo. Now, do you do Shabbos davening around the world?
Not really. I will do it very, very seldom, you know, very... if there'll be somebody, you know, to pay a lot of money, you know, okay. I'll do it. Because I'm working every night during the week, and I prefer really to be at home for Shabbat now with my grandchildren. And I'd like to stay home.
For the High Holy Days, do you do?
High Holidays is another story. High Holidays were, first of all, I was in Kutches for 30 years.
Right.
You know that, you know, and unfortunately, Kutches is closed now.
Well, no, they're trying to revive it.
They're trying, but it's not going to work. Because Yossi is leaving. Yossi is going to live in Israel. He's going to...
Oh, I didn't hear that. Yeah. No, I thought they were...
Yossi's making Aliyah, and I don't think anybody else is going to take over. He was trying. He was trying very hard, and he deserves all respect for what he did.
Well, I know Yankee Lemmer is going to be there Memorial Day.
This summer still is going to go. I don't think it's going to go over this summer. I think this is the end of it. And
We need a kosher place.
But people don't come. You see, that's the problem. People don't come. I mean, we need, but...
But it has to be upgraded because the people who will come are willing to pay.
This is the problem, that today people who want kosher food, like it's like the, you know, like the cruises that we have today, the Costa Rica cruise, right?
Yes.
So that they have, it's like it costs three times as much as a regular cruise, but you get the best gourmet food, you know, people... Jewish people today don't want to go and get the airplane kosher tinfoil, you know, but whatever you call it. It's not food. It's no food. It's what you call it, food, right? But today they want to go. If they go, they don't care to pay because some of them have a lot of money, and they want to get a gourmet food, and this is something very beautiful that Costa Rica did and others that do cruises. People don't want to go for Pesach anymore to a place where water is coming dripping in from the ceiling. You know, people are going to luxurious places and they like to go to luxurious places. And I don't have to tell you how many programs they have, you know, for Passover.
Well, the hotels past Pesach, I heard they were all full.
Full. Everything was full. I mean, Arizona was full. Florida was full. California was full. Acapulco was full. I was in Rimini in Italy.
Oh, really?
Was beautiful. Yeah, beautiful program. and the Netzer family, they did a great, great job. And the Rimini is a beautiful place. Unfortunately, it was cold because it was the beginning of, it was in March still, you know, it was like early this year. Like as Jackie Mason says, Jewish holiday is never on time. They are either late or early. Yeah, but so for the holidays, I go to Brazil now.
Really?
Yeah, for the last 2 years when I stopped working for Coach's Country Club, Brazil is the place, and that's where I go.
Okay, well, listen, you know, I think the wheel goes around. I don't want to think of it as a dead end. Yes, Kazanis is at a low ebb right now, but I can tell you there are people, those who are committed, that they're very, very committed to it. It's not a large number, but I also find that it's a question of education.
I don't think the people, first of all, the people who used to go to the Conquer, the Grossingers or Kutchers were conservative people.
Okay.
It was conservative people. Their children, either they became ultra-Orthodox, either they became Orthodox, they don't want to go where their parents used to go, or they leave everything, they left everything, you know, they marry chickses and whatever, you know. So there's nobody left to go to Concord and Grossingers and Kutcher's because it has to be a glatt kosher place, you know, if you want to make it really kosher, and it has to be upscaled, it has to be upgraded, it has to be built, it has to be beautiful, and to invest now $100 million in a hotel in the Catskills, I don't think that anybody's going to do it.
No. There is a hotel in Long Branch called the Ocean Place. And
yes,
they have
I know this place.
And Abramson, I hope he does well.
He does very well for Pesach, yeah.
Yes, and hopefully there'll be other things. It's very, very, we know there are issues. The next selection that I have up here is Bring Him Home. Why don't you tell us a little bit of how you came to do this particular selection?
Well, I always knew that I'm not going to stay in a synagogue as a chazan, and I also predicted also what's going to happen because the jobs went very low, and today, really, hundreds of cantors are without a job for the holidays.
Yes, it's sad.
Because of, you know, the shul, they take a balabus there who can sing a little bit, and that's it. I mean, they don't want to hire a chazan, they don't want to pay a chazan, and I really predicted it a long time ago. And also, by my nature, I was not a man of a one place. You know, I was a chazan in South Africa for many years.
Really?
For 3 years.
You're Johannesburg?
Yeah, in Johannesburg. Johannesburg. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I took over Shlomo Mandel's synagogue in Berea Synagogue. That was the name of it. And I was there for 3 years, and I got bored, you know, because I saw the same faces, same people are coming every Shabbat, you know, And even sometimes when I was used to be in a very good shape, you know, on Shabbat, you know, and I used to daven really beautiful, and people used to clap after the services. When I finished the services, people started clapping. The shamans used to go, you're not allowed to clap, you know. So right. And I used to say in my heart, I used to say, why not? Let them do it. I mean, let me get some
Applause,
you know, applause. Sure. We say, you know, that in show business, the applause are the first check that an artist is getting. The standing ovation is the first check. Afterwards, it gets the other check, you know, the money, the real money. But the real thing is for an artist is that people acknowledge him, you know, and they like what it does. And he gets a standing ovation. This is something that money can't buy. And I always knew that the synagogue is not my last station, you know. It was on the way. I was going somewhere. And I went to London in 1986, and I did a concert, a cantorial concert. And I stayed with a cousin of mine. I wanted to save money because the concert was like a benefit concert for something, you know. So I said, you know something, don't pay my hotel. I'll go stay with my cousins. Save the money, you know, for the benefit. And I went to stay with my cousin Shirley, and she said, the moment I stepped in, she said to me, listen, you have to go see a show. There's a new show in town. You have to go, because when I saw the show, she said, I saw you in the show. I was not a man of musicals, you know, because I never, I think, I think that till then, I don't even think that I saw one musical. You know, I was into Yiddish singing now. I was Hasidic songs and cantorial music. That's what I did. And I went to see Les Mis. And it changed my life, actually.
Wow.
I
mean,
yeah, when I saw Les Mis, I said to myself, wow, I can be Jean Valjean. Why not? I mean, I really can be Jean Valjean. Then when I went back to Israel, I was sitting with my manager, and he said to me, we're going to Mexico for a cantorial concert, and we go to London for a concert. And I said, look, I don't want to do anything. I just, please, look, wherever it is, wherever they audition for Les Mis, I want to do the job. He said to me, what's Les Mis in Hebrew? And I said, I don't know, because in the yeshiva, they never taught us about Victor Hugo, you know, right. They taught about Maimonides, about Talmud, about everything. But never we learned about Victor Hugo. And I ran downstairs to the store, to Stematsky, to the bookstore downstairs. And I went to the lady there and I said, excuse me, I feel like uncomfortable. You know, what is Les Mis in Hebrew? What is Les Miserables in Hebrew? She says, that's Aluvei HaChaim. I bought the book. I ran back to my office, to my manager's office. I said, it's called Aluvei HaChaim. And he said, Aluvei HaChaim is coming next year to the Camry Theater in Tel Aviv. So I said to him, so why are you sitting here? Just go get me an audition. Get me an audition. So he got me an audition, and from there, everything is history. I got the part in Israel. Cameron McIntosh came to Israel to see the show.
It was in Hebrew, though.
It was in Hebrew,
yes.
Right.
I have the album. I have the Hebrew album, yes.
And that's it. And then he offered me the role to come on Broadway. And then the big fight was about the Shabbos. You know,
of course.
They wouldn't let me do it without the Shabbos. I went to the Rebbe. You know, my mother said to me, go talk to the Rebbe. And I said, what to go to the Rebbe? I mean, for what? I mean, what should I talk to the Rebbe about? Broadway? I mean, people are coming to the Rebbe with all kind of problems and sicknesses and things like this. She said to me, the Rebbe helped us once already, and I'll tell you about it later. Maybe we should hear first, bring him home from Les Mis.
Okay, so let's hear this, and then we'll continue the story. Okay, this is Bring Him Home.
Bring Him Home.
On high, hear my prayer. In my need, you have always been there. Let him rest. Heaven blessed, bring him home. Bring him home. Bring him home. He's like the son I might have known. If God had granted me a son, the summer is thy, one by one, how soon they fly, all alone, and I am old, and will be gone. He is only a boy. You can take, you can give. Let him be, let him live. If I die, let
Wow. That was recorded live at the...
That was recorded live, actually, on the last PBS show that I did 3.5 years ago, which I recorded in Bet Shean, in this Roman, beautiful Roman old theater.
Mm-hmm.
I recorded the show for PBS, which was actually aired in the last 3.5 years over 1,100 times.
Wow.
All over America, really, it was a big, big success. And actually, we're working now on a new one, the Jerusalem show, which I'm going to do in Branson. We're going to record it now. And people who wants to be a part of it really can go to my website, www.dudufisher.com, and see what we do to raise the funds for it on Kickstarter. I don't know if you heard about it. It's a new way to raise money for projects, all kind of projects, and that's what we do right now, because to shoot such a show, it's like over $800,000. So we're looking for partners, and it works very well, and it'll be there.
Well, I wish you l'hatzlacha, of course.
Thank you.
And now you were going to tell us about the you went to the Rebbe to ask about Shabbos. How was that result? I remember. But
so the story is that in 1932, a woman in Riga was in the hospital giving birth, and the doctors all said that something went wrong in the middle of the birth. It's 1932 I'm talking about, and they said that it has to be stopped. The pregnancy has to be stopped. They have to go in with scissors and cut the baby, you know, into pieces. No, those days, you know, to cut
for the abortion. Anyway, yeah,
abortion was terrible. But this woman, her name was Frida, and she didn't want to do it. So she called us. She asked her sister to go to Riga to the synagogue and to pray for her. So she went into a synagogue and she was praying and crying, and she felt somebody tapping her on the shoulder. And she turned around. There was probably the cleaning lady or something. She says, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "Well, it's my sister. She's in the hospital, and the birth, something's going wrong with the birth. She says, come with me." She took her to the Rayatz, to the Alter Rebbe, to the Friedrich Rebbe. And she put in a kvittel with the name of the woman, Frida Gisa. And a letter came out from the Rebbe in his handwriting, and it said, an entfer auf dein bakoshe. It was in Yiddish. This is an answer for your kvittel
request.
A lebedik gesinnte kind will be born. She says, and don't do anything. She took this letter, and she ran back to the hospital. The moment she steps into the hospital, the doctors came out, and they all were amazed. I mean, they told her, "We don't know what happened. Something miraculously what happened here." And suddenly a regular birth started, and a girl was born. And the girl was my mother.
Wow.
Yeah. The girl was my mother. So we have this letter. We have this letter.
I'm in tears. Wow, yeah. What a story.
So I'm a Lubavitch. Wow. I mean, I'm here in this world because of the Friedrich Rebbe, the previous Rebbe of Lubavitch.
Wow.
And I really, I give them all respect, you know, because I think they changed Yiddishkeit in this world. I mean, the Rebbe with the shluchim that are all over the world. I mean, I don't have to tell you about it. And I talk about it in every show. I think really that these are the people that bringing back Yiddishkeit into the world. They are the people who are teaching the children of today to be the Zaydis of tomorrow.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it, because they're saving so many lives, so many Jewish people.
They're so non-judgmental, too. You know.
And today, you know, I used to travel, I used to go I used to schlep with me gefilte fish and salami in the valise, you know, in the suitcase, and then I used to come, and it was to spritz all over my clothes. I used to do the concert, you know, smelling from you know.
Yes.
And today, I mean, wherever you go, I mean, you go to Thailand, you go into the north of Thailand, there's somebody there to send you kosher food into the hotel, and there's a synagogue, you can go there, and
sure.
It's an amazing thing.
You know how we know there's no life on the moon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's no Chabad.
There's no Chabad.
So that's what my mother told me. When Cameron McIntosh told me that that he wants me on Broadway, and then right. it took a long time, you know, till he fought everybody. Everybody yes. was fighting him. The Actors' Equity, the theaters, everybody was fighting him because nobody wanted to give up that a lead role will not be singing on Friday night and Saturday matinees and the Jewish holidays.
Right.
And he was fighting all of them. I don't know why he did it. I mean, I asked him once, why did you do it for me? He said, I love you. He said, I love you. But it was a miracle for me. So my mother said to me, go talk to the Rebbe. And I went to talk to the Rebbe. And at the time, he was sick already. He didn't speak. He didn't get people privately. But I asked Avi, because Avi is very involved. Avi Albrecht is very involved with Chabad. I said to him, how do you go to talk to the Rebbe? I want to talk to the Rebbe. He said, well, I'll tell you something. If you sponsor a bris for a Russian, you know, that came from Russia. And at that time, the Rebbe took it very seriously. I mean, it was in his heart, you know, to have bris every Jew that came out from Russia. And I sponsored the bris, And after the bris, we went with a man.
On 7-7?
To the Rebbe, yes. To the Rebbe. And we went into his chambers, and I spoke to him, and I said, Rebbe, there's a problem. I have a problem because they want me on Broadway, but I don't want to do it with the Shabbos, and what am I going to do? And he said to me, Halt sich stark mit Yiddishkeit, and everything will be okay. He said to me, hold to your Yiddishkeit. He said, it'll be all right. And two, three months later, I got a call from Cameron that he got the permission to do it. I want to tell you, they call me in the theater world here in New York, they call me the Sandy Koufax of the theater because it never happened till then. And unfortunately, even I wanted to play so many roles, and I thought that I'm going to conquer it, you know, Broadway. It never happened because the Shabbos, no other producer agreed to the fact that I'll not play on Friday night and Saturday matinees.
Wow, what a story. What a story. That is...
Yeah.
Well, it was beshared that, I mean, no, there are no accidents, you know. They say...
Everything mikre, yes, from God, everything is from there. Yeah.
It was beshared. It was really beshared. Oh, wow. So, you know, it's amazing how fast time is going by. We have another 15 minutes or so, and I want to play... I'm going to play more of your selections during the second hour. This is... We're going to play this the first hour, because that's when I do the interviews and so forth. And the second hour, after your
no problem.
You know, I have your Teher and Valyadeh and of Rachabim. But a favorite of mine was always Borchi Nafshi. Tell us a little bit about Borchi Nafshi.
Well, Borchi Nafshi was a song that was written for me by Moshe Laufer. And I'll tell you what, when I came back from South Africa to Israel, people forgot me already. And I looked for places where am I going to sing to get famous again, you know, to get some fame, to get some television shows. And so I started going to all... the festivals that they had in Israel, the Festival HaChassidi, the Hasidic yes. Song Festival.
They were wonderful.
The Jerusalem Festival. I mean,
Israeli song festivals, yes.
Exactly. And in Israel at the time, there was only one station. So once you were on television, 95% of the people of Israel saw you. So wow. The next day you walk out in the street and you're a star. You know, so Bachi Nafshi was a song which I won the first prize yes. in the Hasidic Song Festival
right.
in 1983.
Wow.
It's
a shame, but just as an aside, they had such great Israeli song festivals, Israeli Hasidic song it's all died
it's
down.
All
it's I call it the dumbing down of the music.
Right.
You'll forgive me.
That's right.
Okay, Borchi Nafshi.
נפשי את השם ברכי נפשי ברכי נפשי את השם ברכי נפשי ברכי נפשי את השם ברכי נפשי ברכי נפשי את השם, או
אוי השם אלוקיי גדלת מאוד 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 עוד והדר לבשת השם אלוקיי גדלת מאוד מאוד מאוד
Dudu, I want you to know something. I was not raised with Jewish music at all. I was 41 years old in 1977 when I discovered Kazanis.
Really?
Yes. That's when I started a radio program, which became JM and the AM, but we started in 77. I collected over 50 years the old Victrolas. I had the recordings. I never listened to them. In 1977 was the first time I ever heard Kazanis.
Wow.
So I know from my own experience that something can be awakened. And I don't think it's going to be, I agree with you, I don't know that it'll be ever be whatever it was, but I know it's a question of exposure and education. And I get emails and I get constant calls and so forth. People from all over the world never heard Kazanis before.
Mm-hmm.
And in yeshivas, they don't even teach them. I want to go and teach a course in yeshivas just to play Rosenblatt or whoever,
yeah.
Or Mozart, you know, whatever. But I'm not giving up quite yet. I don't want to give up.
All right, okay. I appreciate your optimism.
I agree with you. It's not easy. So Well, we haven't touched. What are the comments for my audience? I'm reaching 35 countries, Australia, South Africa.
Wow.
I get a printout of where I'm reaching. So we're talking to the world. I know we're going to end up with Exodus. We have a few more minutes on that. But any closing thoughts, and we'll even have some after Exodus. Some closing thoughts about...
First of all, I'm now on tour, you know, here. I'm working now with Bruce Gelb, who is the promoter of Bocelli in America.
Okay.
Andrea Bocelli, and we're doing shows now here. So this week we're going to do New York and New Jersey.
New Jersey and New Brunswick, I believe,
Next week we're doing Philadelphia and Baltimore, then we go to Chicago also. And then Branson. So Branson is, for me, something new, something to explore a new ground. And I always looked for something new. Always, you know, I'm always bored when I do a project, you know, and when I start the project, you know, I'm happy and I'm very enthusiastic about it. But then it dies away. The project's still on, you know, but I'm thinking already, my head is already in the next thing. And Branson for me right now is a very big thing. I think that we have a very good chance. I have a dream, you know. My real dream is to buy a theater in Branson, to call it the Jerusalem Theater, and to have a real embassy of Jerusalem in the midst of the Bible Belt. And
what a great idea! Yeah, wow, it sounds fantastic.
And to bring Jewish shows there, and to bring Israeli artists there, painters and sculptors and singers and dancers, you know. And this is really what I want to do, but it's still going to take time. I just want to see first of all how my Jerusalem show is working out, and actually the song that I finish, you know, my show is with Exodus. It was written by Pat Boone, who is evangelical himself. It was written for the movie, you know, Exodus. You know, that was the boat that brought.
Of course.
And my lead in to the song is that I love to walk on beaches. I really am, and I've walked on all the beaches in the world. I mean, the most beautiful beaches in the world, from Cape Town in South Africa to Rio de Janeiro, from Vancouver to Hawaii to but the nicest beach in my eyes still is the beach of Tel Aviv, and I love to walk on this beach. Really, the sand is so beautiful and pure there, and the boardwalk is so beautiful there. And whenever I walk there, you know, it's like whenever I walk, I can't help but think that only 65 years ago, people came out from the stormy seas of the Mediterranean on little boats who carried people with big dreams, you know, big dreams to build a safe haven for the Jewish people in Israel.
Right.
And when you think about it, I mean, it's unbelievable what we achieved there in 65 years.
It's miraculous.
It's miraculous. I mean, there's no country in the world is like this. And I'll tell you something. I'm traveling a lot, and every time that I travel, the moment I go on a plane to go back, to go somewhere, you know, I'm already thinking, you know, when you come to Israel and you see the shores of Israel and your heart fills with such a great pleasure. And for me, Israel is my life. Israel is my place. My kids went to the army in Israel, and I live in Israel. My house is in Israel. My wife is in Israel. My parents are still living in Israel, thank God. You know, and this is a place where my Zaydis and Bobbies came from nowhere, from the dust. They came, they suffered, you know, they were survivors. They came out from nothing. And look what we built there. So for me, Exodus is really the song today. When I do a show, I love to finish my shows with Exodus. And of course, this is a song that I'm going to sing in all my tours right now, and of course in Branson, Missouri.
Okay, so this is Exodus.
Land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me.
And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. Let's see your Mircha. Let's see your Ircha Berina. Vel Yerushalayim, Beit Mikdashcha. Besimcha. Et korbenot chovoteinu temidim esidrah umusafim kehilchatat Am Yisrael chai So take my hand and walk this land with me and walk this ancient land with me. For I am just a man. With the help of God, I know I can be strong to make this land our own. If I must fight, I'll fight to make this land our home.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. So, time flies very fast when you're having a good time. I'm so pleased and proud that you shared your thoughts with me and my audience. And
My pleasure.
I want to thank you on behalf of myself and my audience. And any closing thoughts?
Any closing thoughts? You know, Israel is right now in a very bad situation. You know, with Syria, with Iran, and whatever goes on, you know, Palestinians and the local and the Israeli Arabs, you know, that are giving us a lot of problems. But as Golda Meir used to say, if you live in Israel and you don't believe in miracles, you're not realistic. You have to be realistic and believe that Israel is there because of a miracle. And we believe that we are there because of a miracle. I mean, if you look at the last 65 years, you cannot explain it if you don't think that it was a God's creation and God's miracles. That's why when people are asking me, when I go to Branson, you know, the goyim asking me, so what's going to be there? I mean, what's going to... And I said, nothing's going to be there. Everything's going to be cool. Everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be good. Because God is with us and because God brought us back to the land of Israel and this is where we're going to be. We fight. We have to fight. Casualties always will be there. My father was fighting for Israel when he came from the Holocaust. I fought for Israel when I was in the army. My kids fought in the army. And unfortunately, I know that my grandchildren also will have to fight in the army. But that's what it is. This is our destiny. We don't live in Florida. We live in the middle of a jungle. And unfortunately, Israel is in a place where nobody wants us around us. Everybody wants to chase us out, to kill us, and to distinguish this little country, which is like a nothing, you know, on the globe.
Yes.
But slowly, we will manage. And I really wish and I hope that people all over the world, Jews and non-Jews alike, will give us their support. Like the evangelical community here in America and all over the world. There's
yes.
plenty of evangelicals today who love Israel, support Israel politically, money-wise, everything. But the Jews have to stand by their country and to understand, as long as the Jews will understand that without Israel, Jews will not be able to walk with their heads up here in America. Because only because Israel exists, Jews can walk in proudly wherever they are. So be with us, bear with us, support us, and everything's going to be great.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that interview that I just had with Dudu Fisher. Stay tuned for an hour of Chazonus, and you know how to reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com. Again, this is the end of the first hour of show number 200 already. Shalom, everyone.